Let's open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. So, next Sunday night is going to be our last Sunday night of our series. So, I want to take a quick moment since I'm doing really, we're all doing really well on time. As far as my timeline for the evening goes. I want to say thanks to everybody who's been helping out with the ushering and the sound and the worship. Totally blessed by you guys. There's absolutely no way that this service and this time that we've had a fellowship could happen, you know, if it wasn't for everybody's help. So I'm grateful for you guys being here. So thank you guys for being here, for being supportive and encouraging each other, and for all the hard work. So thank you guys very much. So we are in Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. We'll pray, and then we'll jump in. First off, I got to say that the title for this evening is Abraham and Hospitality. I'm sure, like, TJ and I, we've talked about all of the evenings like a month ago or so, and you know, talking about like I would love the worship, you know, to follow along with the theme. And the first thing was like hospitality. That's gonna be rough, man. So thank you guys, you did awesome, man. Thank you for pointing us to the Lord in worship. It's hard to say like what in the world is hospitality. What does it have to do with Abraham? What does it have to do with me? You know, like, what? I'm single, or I live in an apartment, or I rent a room from somebody. It's not that kind of hospitality exclusively. So I hope that, you know, tonight the Lord would open your minds and your hearts to see, and that I hope that we can all learn something that would apply to us. But yeah, hospitality, it's kind of a rough theme or topic in and of itself, but I think it'll all make sense to you guys as we jump in here. So, verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. And he bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please, let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I'll bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, Do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly, make three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender, good calf, gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had prepared, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Now let's pray, guys. Lord, we ask that you would open, as we open up our Bibles, Lord, we ask you would open our hearts, our minds to receive all that you have for us tonight. It would be a waste of time for us, Lord, to come in your name, to gather together in your name, and miss hearing from you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, to receive. We want to leave this place having met you. Lord, we want to leave this place being more like you than when we first walked in. So, Lord, we ask you to do that work in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, this is the story. Abraham is hanging out. It says, the Bible makes a note that this was in the heat of the day. So this is, if you've ever been camping or you've ever been out in the desert, this is that point in the day where you want some, like, you want some shelter from the sun. But when you go inside the tent, it's like an oven. So you go into the tent and you're like, oh man, it's just misery. And you go out of the tent and now you're just getting slammed by the sun. So that's not helping. So from my experience, this is the spot. Like right at the door of the tent, where you can have a little shade, but you're still outside. So if there's any breeze running, that you're getting that breeze without being in the sun. I've been camping in places. I've camped often at the beach. I've gone to do missions trips and things in Peru specifically. And I remember camping on the beach. There's just no shelter. There's nowhere to run from the sun. And you're just there in the sun. And this was the only place that I remember I could hide and still have some shelter and not bake inside the tent. This is that time in the day when all of the animals are, like, they're not even visible. All the animals are just, they're hiding. Everybody's looking for a shrub, a rock, a tree, something. And it's at that time that these three strangers are walking by. I don't think Abraham knew who these guys were at the time. Now, we know, we get like the inside story. We know that it's the Lord who appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre. We also will find out, as you keep reading through the chapter, you're going to find out that two of these men were actually angels who go on to Sodom and Gomorrah while the Lord stays behind. But I don't, it's just these men, they appeared. And in that intense heat at that, like, that the worst time to be traveling and moving around, these guys are traveling. So I love the fact Abraham sees what's going on, and it says there that he gets up and he ran from the door to meet them, and he bowed himself down, showing humility. Running isn't something that was customary in those days, unless you're being chased by like a lion or something. Men of position or men of age, didn't run from place to place. It's not like, actually, funny enough, even to this day, very few countries like ours will you see people running for fun. Like, that doesn't happen in other parts of the world. People only run with a purpose. Here, you know, we're just weird. We like to punish ourselves, and we run for what we call fun. This is a unique thing for Abraham to get up and to run over there to meet these guys. But he does. He does all these things. Man, he gets up in this heat, and he runs to meet these guys. And we find out, again, this is going to be the Lord. These are going to be some angels. The first thing, I think, or the next thing in my mind that we need to make note of is the fact that we see God coming to Abraham, like, often. Periodically, God comes onto the scene, and he meets with Abraham, and he talks to Abraham. Here's the thing, and I know I haven't mentioned this thus far, but I want to mention it tonight. God is involved. God is actively, intimately involved with his creation. All throughout Scripture, we know that God was involved and was in the midst of the children of Israel. So he had rules for them on holiness and sanctification. He had rules on things that were to be done within the camp and things that were to be done outside of the camp. Why? Because, hey, you're not heathens without a God, but you are the children of Israel. You have God Almighty living in your midst. And so God had rules on things that could be done and couldn't be done around the camp. For that reason, could you know that? God is involved in your life. Because we all know, like, yay, Jesus made me. Yay, Jesus loves me. But do you know that he's actually involved in your everyday life? How you pay your bills, what you're paying, what you're doing. How you interact with people, your loved ones, your kids, people you don't love, people you don't like. How, just in everyday life, God is involved. I think sometimes we forget that. We forget that the Lord's with us, and here we see him coming to Abraham again. And Abraham gets up and he greets them. He basically gives them like the red carpet treatment. And he doesn't even know who these people are, really. Not yet. Not completely. And that gets me thinking, what are we willing to do for complete strangers? What are we willing to do for complete strangers? Now think about that for a minute. Are you willing These are the things I'm going to mention right now. These are easy things. Are you able and willing to just acknowledge a stranger that's walking by you or standing next to you at a gas station, at the grocery store, at the bank? People are on edge at the bank, so let's leave them alone there. But, you know, anywhere else, do you acknowledge people that are around you? That's huge. Because how many people feel like they don't matter? A lot of people. They honestly feel like, I don't matter. No one cares. No one cares that I'm around. No one cares if I come home. No one cares if I get lost. Oh, and it's so sad. And here we are, man. We have this life abundant in us. The Holy Spirit in us. God just like ready to just explode out of our lives and spill over on the people around us. And a lot of times we just don't take the time to acknowledge that other people exist in the world other than me. And as parents, I think we're so quick to tell our kids, the world doesn't revolve around you. But I think sometimes, like, man, we forget that. You know what, mom and dad? The world doesn't revolve around you either. You're a part of this world. God has put us here. Why are we here? Why has God put us here? Some would say, we are here to know God. And that's awesome. That's deep. But I would say, as soon as you come to know Him, you should just be taken to heaven, because you're done. If that's the purpose for being here, then man, as soon as you give your life to Christ, your work here is done. Get out. But here we are. I know I'm a Christian. I know I've given my life to Christ. I think most of you have. I don't know you individually. I don't know. But if you're still here, then that means there's something that God still wants to do in and through your life. So it's not just to know Him. I believe it's to know Him and to make Him known. I believe that's why we're here. We're here to know Him and to make Him known. We're here to be a salt and a light to the people around us. Maybe you will not have an audience of a salt and a light to the world, but you will have an audience of your world, your sphere, the people around you that you come in contact with, acknowledging them. Abraham acknowledged these guys. I mean, he could have just sat in the tent, at the door of the tent, in the shady spot that he could find. As they walked by, he could have just, sup. As they just kept walking by. Like, that's normal. I do that. Someone walks by like, sometimes you don't even have to use words. It's just like, yeah, I see you. All right. It's just like this cheap, generic, inexpensive acknowledgement. Abraham does way more than that. He actually acknowledges them. What are you willing to do for a stranger? Are you willing to smile? Smiles, I think I have a weird smile, honestly, like every picture that I see, and every time we talk about, let's take a picture, I'm always like, oh man, like which one, how much teeth, no teeth, yes teeth, more cheeks, less cheeks, I have no idea where to go. Other people have beautiful smiles, and I think like, man, you've been blessed with literally like a gift from God. You have a beautiful smile. You know how to use it. Smile. It's not a hard thing to do. And it goes a long way. It goes a long way. Opening doors. It's not just for guys, gals. Like, you know, if you can open a door for someone. You see a mom walking with like a baby and a toddler, and she's trying to kick the door open because she's got groceries in her pinky. Open the door. You guys, you young guys, young people, man, open doors. It's I don't know them. Exactly. A total stranger, you can be a blessing to them. These are the kind of things that I think of when I think of hospitality. I think of Abraham meeting these guys, giving all these things to them, welcoming them, greeting them. Come on in. Hey, I'm sharing my tree. I have this awesome tree with shade. He probably had something under that tree that needed shade. which is why he was at the door of the tent. So I don't know what he had over there, but I'm like, dude, if you're going to share your shady tree, why aren't you under your shady tree? There has to be a reason. He moves whatever's there out of the way, and he makes room for them. He actually stands by the tree as they're sitting under the tree and enjoying the little that he brought them. I believe that God is honored when we show concern for our fellow man. I do. I honestly believe that. I believe that he's honored because I believe that that is us being a Christian, being like Christ. Because what did Jesus do? Did he come and just serve himself when he came? No. He came to give of himself, right? He showed the disciples as he washed their feet, like, hey, me being who I am, your Lord and Master, here I am washing your feet. Why? So that you guys would do the same for each other, serve each other. That's the example that he gave us. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10, we're going to pick up in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and testing him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, This is what this guy knows from the law of Moses. This is what he knows from reading it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. In reference to, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered right. Do this and you'll live. Verse 29. But he, this is why he asked the question, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? I'm going to pause there for a minute. Today, most of us, we live in neighborhoods. And so if we read this, we can automatically relate very, very quickly to like, oh yeah, I have neighbors. Like, yeah, those guys on this side. And those guys on this side, they're pretty cool. So automatically we know these are neighbors around me. You have to remember, like, in this age, in this rural community, it could be like acres and acres of farmland or property before you found another human. So this guy thinks, like, oh, well, you know, who is my neighbor? Like, I don't have any neighbors around me. Got acres and acres of land. Why is he saying this? Wanting to justify himself. It's possible they were in a city. There were obviously cities at this time, Jerusalem and other places. And there's hundreds of people around me. Which one of those hundreds is my neighbor that I should love? Jesus answered and said, verse 30, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and he looked and he passed by on the other side. Remember, this guy who's asking the question is a lawyer. Not a lawyer like we think today, but a lawyer as in a teacher of the law. So he was a religious person, and Jesus points out these two religious guys. These men of God, these holy men. First, this guy comes, a priest, and he sees this man, and he just walks on by like, ew, he's all beat up. A Levite walks by, and he's like, oh, he looks bad. And he crosses the street, doesn't want to deal with it. Verse 33, But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will pay you." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Verse 37, and he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the story that Jesus gave him. And in his story, in this parable, those who had knowledge of God, those who had understanding of right and wrong, see the problem and just ignore it. See the problem and actually avoid it. The guy went across the other way. And then, what in their culture was literally a half-breed, a Samaritan, like, "Oh, those people." It's that person of a lower class in a Jewish mindset. It's that kind of low person that actually went to the aid of this man who was beaten. Picked him up. Put him on his own donkey, his own animal. Took him to an inn, paid of his own money. And then left extra money because this guy was busy. He had to go somewhere. He stopped his business and he took care of this man. And he left money and he told the innkeeper basically a blank check. "I'm giving you this much money. Anything else that this guy needs, when I come back this way, you can charge me." I'm just going to say right now, I have never done that. Probably, I will never do that for a complete stranger. I've got no shame in saying it. That's a lot. That's a lot of love. I don't think that I have that. This guy did. This is the kind of attitude that we're to have towards people. So first I ask, what are you willing to do for a stranger? Now I want to ask, what are you willing to do for a friend? What are you willing to do for people you actually know, actually love, actually care about? They come to you with a need, or you find out, or you hear that there is a need. On the very first night of our series, talking about faith, I shared several stories of how God would always come through for my wife and I, especially early on, man, when we just didn't know where and how we were going to pay for things. And the Lord always supplied our needs. How did He do it? Through people. You see, God, He works supernatural things through natural means. He uses people, like humans. You guys are people. He actually, when there's a need that you are aware of, He actually wants to use you as an instrument to bless somebody. There are a lot of things that happen in the world that I don't know about. My conclusion, I'm not supposed to do anything about them. I don't know. But there are things that I'm aware of. Needs that come to my attention. And so now the question begins, and the prayer begins. Am I aware of this need because I'm supposed to do something about it? Am I aware of this need because I need to pray about this? Am I aware of this need because I need to volunteer myself to be there and help be a solution for this need? Many times, my wife and I, again, we've always had what we need. God has always been faithful to provide our needs. We have never lived in abundance, ever. And many times we've had people that we know, like, oh man, this person is struggling. And my wife is amazing. She has a huge heart and a huge gifting for hospitality and loving people. And man, all of a sudden I come home and there's all these groceries, you know. I'm like, sweet, food. I love food. I love snacks. And I'm like, hey, this is awesome. Didn't we just go shopping like 3 days ago? And I start digging through the bag. Said, no. Don't go in there. Like, I see fruit snacks. Like, are you kidding me? This has got to be for me. And then she'll say, hey, you know what? That's not even for us. We're gonna go give this to so-and-so. They're having a hard time. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's so cool. I don't always see things like that, so I love the fact that she's always there with eyes, man, eyes wide open to see. And it's cool because, like, spiritually speaking, in heaven, I get part of the credit because, you know, I was there, and we're a team. So she makes me look good, which is awesome. But even, for, you know, hey, there's people that we know. Write this down for yourself. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. I've had many hats, many roles that I've fulfilled in life. One of them was being a chef. And on my chef's coat, I had this embroidered. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. I worked at a conference center, a Christian conference center. And I had my name and I had Galatians 6:10. And this is what Galatians 6:10 says. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people. And especially to those who belong to the family of faith or to the household of God. So I worked at a Christian conference center, and that was always the thing. It was like, man, I am here especially to do good for those who are of the household of faith. God's calling us to do good whenever we have the opportunity. Sometimes we don't have the opportunity. My family, we've gone through seasons where we've supported missionaries. Seems like the Lord gives more financially. We decide, like, we're going to give more. For some reason, we like to live in a struggling state, I guess. But, you know, so we would give more. And then other times where it's like, hey, we absolutely can't. You know, we don't have the opportunity to give in that way. And so we find other ways to give. But we are, whenever we have the opportunity, to do good to all people. Especially to those who belong to the family of faith. Here's the thing. Generally, I don't give handouts to people who are on the street, who are just like shady, who are asking for handouts. As a general rule, my answer is no. I want to be a good steward of the money that God has given us. It's our common day, you know, it's how we trade. We don't trade with, you know, we trade in work or in camels or in veggies. Like, I'm going to give you veggies from my garden. No, our trade system today is money. It's just paper and these little smashed pieces of copper that we have, carry around with us. And so, again, it's most of us have it in limited supply. I generally say no. But here's what I always do. First is like, nope. Like, hey, my kids will testify to this, man. Probably 99% of the time, my answer is no. But here's what's happening behind the scenes. Is I know I don't know everything. I know that we've had hard times. I know that people that I love and I respect and I look up to have had hard times. And so I know that some people that we meet and we come across on the street are going through a hard time. And so I see that person, and man, my first response is like, ew, I want to walk around the street and avoid them like one of these religious snobs in Jesus' story. I'm like, oh man, I don't want to be that guy. So I kind of see it coming, and I have to like, okay. And I start to pray, Lord, should I help this person? I've helped people. I've given them handouts financially. I've taken somebody in to buy them something to eat. Sometimes I've just given them a couple of bucks or some change that I had on me. Sometimes I have leftover food. You know those days where you think you're really, really hungry, but you're actually not, and you have that leftover food? I wouldn't throw it away. I just like, I don't put it in my work truck, and I'm driving around everywhere, so eventually I might see somebody that needs some food. I don't know what's going on with their lives. I don't want to pretend to know. But I do want to do this. I do want to be obedient to the Lord. And God's calling me when I have the opportunity to do good to all men. Some of these people that we see, again, they're having hard times. Some of these people, they have loved ones and family that love them and can provide for them and will provide for them. But for that person on the street, that involves what? It involves humility. It involves staying off drugs or staying on medication. Sometimes they refuse. They don't want to submit to the loved ones that want to take care of them. And so really, for us to be giving money frivolously, we end up basically enabling people to continue like this. And it's hard because San Diego is awesome weather-wise. You can live out there for a while. But these people, we don't know, but here's the thing, God knows. Some of these people, they're lazy, they're con men, con women. They're just looking for easy money. And sometimes, you know, we can have like sucker written on our face as we're walking around. So, what do I say? What am I trying to say? Whenever you have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of faith. Here's the thing. You might not always be able or ready or willing to offer help to somebody you don't know on the street because you have a lot of reservation. I get it. But can I just say, within this house, within the family you actually have or the church family that you have, there are needs. Pray about it. What are you to do? And don't let the answer of like, well, we don't have enough to give, man, it's like a, I don't know. You're never going to feel like you have enough. Does that make sense? And again, many people have given and blessed us out of their lack. And we've had seasons where we've blessed people out of our lack and out of our abundance. Man, that doesn't even matter, because here's the cool thing. God makes up the difference. Because when you do that, the Lord is there. I believe he is well pleased. And he told us already in Scripture, hey, you know, challenge me in this. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing more than you can contain. By doing what? By honoring him with our tithe, by honoring him and giving first to him. I believe this is a part of it, and being a salt and a light and honoring the Lord and helping others. I guarantee God's going to bless you in return. You're not going to regret helping somebody. We talked about smiles and opening doors and being courteous and acknowledging people. Financial help isn't the only way that we can help people. Okay? Sometimes just bringing somebody in, giving them a little water. I was working last week surveying for my company. I had to count steps at this community. The only way to count steps or stairs, how do you think is, like, the only way to do that is what? Walking them. Dude, I was a mess. I'm walking, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'm walking up and down and up and down and up and down, and it was so hot and muggy, and this guy, I was walking behind him. I had my headphones on. I was listening to music, and I'm walking behind this guy, try not to scare them, but try not to lose count either, you know? So I'm kind of walking, and I'm like, 25, 26. And this guy turns around and says, hey, what are you doing? And I explain, hey, I'm surveying, we're counting steps, and this, we might be doing a big remodel here. And he just looked at me like, do you want water? I mean, Mike, I have a gray shirt for work. It was like a charcoal gray by this point, kind of dark. It was soaking wet, and I looked down. I was like, yes, please. Super sweet guy. Brought me into his place, gave me a couple bottles of water. I just pounded one, and I started sipping the other, talking with him a little bit. Then he offers me some juice, and I was just like, oh, Lord, thank you. Super cool guy, a believer. He had told me when I walked in, he said, oh, just be quiet a little bit because my boys are sleeping. And he's an older guy. I'm thinking, yeah, boys taking a nap. You know, I'm thinking his boys are 25, 30, you know. And so he explained that. He's like, yeah, you know, I have twins that have Down syndrome. They're 21 years old, and so, you know, they're taking a nap right now. And he's going to log in and do some work and stuff. And I'm like, man, what a cool guy. You know, in his life, in his home, with that situation, always kind of on call emotionally. You know, with someone with Down syndrome, you're always on call emotionally. You can't ever check out. And so you could see that kind of just naturally coming out of him. And such a blessing. He literally saved my life. I think, man, it would have been a hard day towards the end. If I didn't have that little break, I tend to not take breaks. So that was really the Lord slowing me down. But this guy, man, what a blessing. I was a total stranger. And he went out of his way to bless. Well, Abraham offered what he had. That's the other thing. It wasn't like he was living in a mansion. It wasn't like he had, you know, a big giant tent, you know, like a used car lot sale or anything. He gave what he had, and I kind of seem to think he's just standing to the side as these guys are eating. I don't know that he had 50 chairs laying around. He was standing, they were sitting, they were enjoying the shade. He gave what he had. And that's the thing. Can I just encourage you? You know, even we talked about tithing a couple weeks ago. Tithing is cool because it's a percentage. So it's related to however much you have is a percentage, or however little you have, it's still it now becomes like a little percentage. So we can give with joy in our hearts. It's not a big burden. In the same way here, being hospitable or being giving or caring towards people, man, listen, we can give what we have. It doesn't have to be, well, I don't have a big house, so I can't have a prayer meeting at my house. Or, well, you know, my house isn't beautiful, so I can't have people over for a dinner. We have these awesome dinner nights where we get together, people open their homes. If you have a little place, open it up. Just have a little people. Or we'll send all the little people there. I don't know. But don't get so overwhelmed and automatically say no to everything. Because here's the thing that happens. For me, growing up with a single mom in a single income home, the answer was always, no, we can't. You know, mom, I want to do karate. No, we can't. Plus, no. Because I was an angry kid and, you know, she didn't want that. And mom, I wanted to do music when I was a kid. No, we can't. I want to play football. No, we can't. It was always like, no, we can't. And so, you know, as I got older, it was, you know, my mom would say, no, I can't, but you can. So I was mowing lawns, pulling weeds, trying to get my money for football camp and for all that stuff that I did as a kid. But it was always no, 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 no. Can I just encourage you as a believer, as a child of God, your dad is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Money is not an issue, okay? Money is it's this thing that we use to move around, but it's not everything. Pray that God would free you up to get beyond that mentality. It's a negative mindset. Oh, we can't, always. Pray about it. I want to help this person. I know this person's hurting. Man, automatically, we can't. But Lord, how can we? How can we help? How can we contribute? I want to encourage you, if you're taking notes, to write this down. We are called to share in our time, our talents, and our treasure. I think a lot of times we only think of treasure, like money. I don't have it, so I can't help. But you might be able to share in your time. You might be able to share in your talent. Not only here in the church are all these things critical for the life of the church to grow and to flourish. We all need to be operating in our time, talent, and treasure and giving those things and honoring the Lord with those things. But even in your home and even in your neighborhood and your community, may the people in your neighborhood know that you're a Christian. Please, may that be true. May they also know you as a giving person, a loving person. And then we'll say, oh, no, they're Christians. They're so greedy. Now, how sad would that be? You know, Christmas comes around or Halloween comes around or whatever comes around. And they, oh, yeah, they're Christians. They're angry. They don't like anything. No, kids, stay away from that house. That's sad. May we be hospitable, loving, caring people who are aware that the world doesn't revolve around us. Abraham, he gave what he had. He opened up his home. Even when Solomon built the temple, he knew that what he was building was a shack compared to the awesomeness of God. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, it says, but will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple, which I have built. Now, Solomon's temple was one of the seven wonders of the world. It wasn't a shack. It was a beautiful place. And even he says, man, can't contain God's glory. You might be thinking, well, you know what? My family and I, we still have a lot that we're dealing with. We're not perfect. We shouldn't have Christian friends over because my kids yell or the dog barks too much or I don't know. I love the story of Zacchaeus. He was a sinner. And the Lord came to his house. You guys turn your Bibles there. We'll read it. Most of you should be familiar. Luke 19, verse 5 through 7. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. You guys know the song, right? So he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. But when they saw it, the other people all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. I love that story and the fact that it shows that his house wasn't all together. Sometimes your house might be a mess. Man, don't let your pride keep you from loving people and having a friend over. Because here's the thing. If you're thinking like, oh yeah, when the house is all done, we'll have people over. Like, that's never going to happen. You're always going to have something wrong with the house. Just have someone over. Invite a new family, a new couple from the church, or an old family, an older couple in the church that's been here forever, but maybe they just kind of feel like we've been here so long, no one even cares that we're here anymore. Take a moment and invite them over. Be hospitable. Like, yeah, that's a part of being a Christian. Do good when you can. To all people, especially to those of the household of faith. F.B. Meyer wrote this, there is no heart so lowly that he will not enter. There is no home so humble that he will not make himself a welcome guest. There is no table so poorly provisioned, but that he will not join. Turning water to wine and multiplying loaves and fish. When seated at a meal with those he loves, he still takes bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them. Love that. Man, regardless of your home or your table or the kind of food that you have, know that the Lord is there. He's there with you. He's in your midst. Because here's the thing. The biggest act of hospitality that we could ever show or ever be a part of is opening your heart to the Lord. That, man, you could be the nicest person to everybody else on earth. You could be the most philanthropical person. It's a big word. Probably said it wrong. You could be the most giving person around. But man, if you've never opened your heart to the Lord, your hospitality skills are so limited. They're so limited. You guys know this verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." God wants to come into your life. It's cool because in Abraham's case, he literally came to his house. And he opened up the tent door and the tree. And he gave him, which for us is like a bizarre meal to have on a hot day, milk and butter. I don't want milk on a hot day. But it was a cultural thing, and that's what he brought. That's what he had. He didn't have like ice-cold lemonade to give him, which I love. Again, just a reminder, hey, just give what you have. God uses that and God blesses that. There's a book that I want to put up on the screen for you guys. I recommend one of my favorite books. Mostly because it's super short. It's like you can download this as a PDF and it's only 4 pages. I love it. But My Heart Cries Home by Robert Boyd Munger. Ah, man, it's a cool, also, if you haven't noticed this about me, I'm very pictorial. I teach in pictures because that's how I think. Everything is a picture to me. This is an awesome illustration of Jesus coming into the home or the heart of a man. He opened up his heart to the Lord, and Jesus came into his home, and then the man comes in, and he's like, "This was the most amazing thing that ever happened to me," he says. "Jesus came in and he went straight to the fireplace and he started a fire that warmed the cold. And he brought light to all the shadows." Isn't that cool? I read that. I was reading it again today, earlier today, and I was like, oh, I wish I could read the whole thing. I'm a slow reader, so we didn't do that. But he's like, man, he came in, he started this fire, it warms the cold that was there. The darkness just went away. And then he says, you know, "Jesus and I, we went into the library as he wanted to see my house. So we walk into the library, and there in the library of my heart, he sees the books that I've been reading. He sees the posters on the wall, the pictures on the wall. He sees some magazines on the coffee table, and then I felt embarrassed." He was like, there were some books that I didn't want him to see as he was walking around. There were some magazines on the table that I was really hoping he wouldn't even notice. And the pictures on the wall, they weren't honoring God. And then he says, I asked Jesus, "Lord, can you help me clean this place up?" And Jesus said, "Yeah. Let's get rid of these books that are here. Let's get rid of all these books and let's put God's word in there. Let's get rid of these magazines. Man, and let's put, you know, again, acts of holiness and righteousness. And he says, hey, you know what? The pictures on the wall, those are going to be hard because those are the images in our mind. Those are going to be hard to get rid of. But you know what? With time, we're going to be able to take those down and put in better things. And then from there, they went into the dining room. And the writer says, man, there are all of the things that satisfy. Education, finances, all the things that fill and satisfy all my cravings and desires. And so I made a plate for Jesus because he asked, what's for dinner? I made a plate for him and I served it and he didn't eat. He didn't eat up all the things that I've been eating up for so long. And Jesus said, man, I have bread and I have food that's so much better than this. And on the story goes. It's a super cool story. I've already given you like half of it. My heart cries home. Have you opened your heart to the Lord? Are you right with him? Then the next question is, at the end of that story of my heart cries home, he finally ends up just giving the title deed of his house to the Lord. He's like, Lord, I'm just signing off ownership to you. Like, you're the boss. It's your house now. I'm just living in it. Have you brought him in? Have you given him total access? In this story, there's a closet in the hallway that he was like, Jesus says, what's in there? He's like, oh, you can't go in there, Lord. What's in there? No. You can go into any other room in this house, but not in that closet. It's awesome. Because the Lord, when he comes into our lives, he doesn't just come in to for show and make us look like better people. He comes in to transform us, to sanctify us, to do this work of healing and restoring, sanctifying and purifying for his honor, for his glory. But we have to give him, like that story says, man, the title deed to our hearts has to go to him. In Acts 13, verse 39, it says, and by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. John 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Abraham opened up, you know, the little that he had, and he offered it to his guests. First off, as a recap for us tonight, they were strangers and he gave. Are you open to that? Can God use you as a vessel, as an instrument, as an extension of his hands and his feet in this world to give to strangers? Maybe just a little love, a little respect, a little humor. My wife and I drove by In-N-Out, and we weren't talking about anything too important, but she said something, and it just made me laugh so hard. Right as we were coming up to the window to order, we're both busting up laughing, you know, and there's a kid back there ready to order, you know. So before he took the order, I said, hey, hold on, man. I said, I have a tip for you. He said, okay. Called me sir for whatever reason. Okay, sir. I'm like, man. And I said, you know what? If you have a girlfriend and you're thinking about getting married someday, I said, look, don't even do it. Don't marry a woman that you cannot laugh with and enjoy life with. Because he just saw us again. We were both just cracking up, laughing about something dumb. And he's like, yeah, all right, you know. I remember that. God bless you, man.
God bless you guys.
As we drove off. Not a huge deal. Not some, you know, evangelical moment. But we have a lot of light that we can share with people who don't have it. They're in darkness. These are all the different ways that we can share and we can be hospitable. So yeah, we'll end the service there tonight.